Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Corinthians 3, verses 6 through 9. Paul writing to the church, he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. And ye are God's husbandry. And ye are God's building. I want to teach for a few moments today with just this thought in mind. Doing my part. I want to do my part. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what you have given us. Lord, called us out of darkness, Lord, to serve you and to live for you. And Lord, I pray today our hearts will hear the word. It'll encourage us, strengthen us to put our hand to the plow and not look back. Lord, help us today to hear what the Spirit would say. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word this morning before you're seated? Thankful for it. Glad to see everyone in the house of the Lord today. And you may be seated. God bless you in Jesus' name. I want to do my part. You know, whatever I'm doing, you hear people say, you need to pull your weight. You need to do your part. If you're on a job, they hired you. They expect you to do what they hired you for. You know, if they hire you and the next day you call in sick, they're going to wonder, did they make a good decision? They might give you another chance, but then next week you want to call in sick again or take off or, hey, I just not show up, clock in late, whatever. You're not doing your part for what they hired you for. And most likely you'll be fired. We need to do our part. We need to do our part in the kingdom. The Lord said, pray that there'll be laborers. I mean, knows what a laborer is. And guys growing up during the summer ever work as a laborer somewhere? It's work. I remember when they were building the General Mills plant in Covington, that summer I worked, got on with a construction company there. That was my job description, laborer. Whatever they said to do, that's what I did. Pouring concrete, carrying lumber, you know, walking steel, it didn't matter. You just did whatever they asked of you. You were a laborer, and it was hot, and it was long, and it was tiring, but you got paid. If you did what you were hired to do, you got to do your part, though. And I think sometimes because we know that God is capable of anything. There is nothing that God can't do. We read the scripture of impossible situations that he turns around. We see him miracles, signs, wonders for his people. And we think, man, there's nothing out of reach. We preach that. We encourage people to believe that. Pray for things that nobody else could ever do. And we've got that in our mind. But I think sometimes that there's especially in this world today, there's this thing in the churches that since we know God is omnipresent, he's all-powerful, he's, you know, he's everywhere, he can do all things, there's nothing he doesn't know, that we remove ourselves from the equation, thinking me simply knowing that is enough. You know, thinking my belief in him is all that I need, and we forget that we have a life to live. For the just shall live by faith. Not just exist. In that scripture, the word live means to live a life. You've heard me preach that before. When Jesus said, I came that you might have life, he was saying, I came so you would live a life. I called you out of darkness. I called you from spiritual death to life. I came to give you something, life and life more abundantly. It didn't mean doing more things and putting so much on us that we couldn't stand to wake up in the morning. He said, but you'll have an abundance because there's things that you're going to get with me that you didn't have naturally. You know, the mercy, the grace, the peace, the understanding, the faith, the knowledge, the love, the power that comes with the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit, these kind of things. These are things that we have to live our life. And so being a child of God, being brought into the kingdom, into the body, is more than just filling a space somewhere. We're not just pegs on a pegboard. You know, sometimes we talk about how God is putting our life together. Sometimes it's like a puzzle and everyone is a piece. But if we're not careful, we'll fall into that, I'm just a piece of the puzzle. And, you know, puzzles are stationary, they don't live. They just show a picture, but nothing is actually happening. And we're more than just, maybe we're a piece of a living puzzle. You know, it's if you want to say it like that, because I'm more than just a seat in the sanctuary. I'm more than just a member of an organization. I'm more than just a pastor here. But I live for God, and I have to live a life for God. And I need to get out of the mindset that all I have to do is say I believe and I don't have to do anything else. That is the running thread of thought in modern day Christianity, is that you simply believe and nothing else matters. Just say you believe. Just make a mental assertion that God is real and you won't have to do anything else but wait for him to come get you. But that's not true. And Paul wrote to the church. Now, don't get it wrong. You have to believe. I mean, the Lord said, go preach the gospel to every creature. The next statement is, and he that believeth. It's got to be belief. Faith comes by hearing. So we hear the gospel preached. We hear the word of God, and we believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You've got to have belief in God. But we also have to do something with what God gave us. And that doesn't have to be fearful or daunting or cause anxiety in your life. We are all given something to do according to what God knows we can do. You know, people always are quick to say, God won't put on you more than you can bear, talking about trials and tests. But he also won't give you things to do for the kingdom that you're not able to do. Because he doesn't want you to be discouraged or humiliated or feel like a failure. So he gives you, even the parable of the talents lets us know that God gave talents. He did it in a way in that parable. He showed different amounts of talents, 5-1, 2-1, 1-1. But it says he gave them according to their ability. He said, this guy can handle 5. That's what I want him to do. This guy can handle 2. That's what I want him to do. This guy can handle 1. Of course, he didn't handle the 1, but God knew that's why I'm going to give them according to their ability. God has put something in each and every one of us so we can do for the kingdom. And this is what Paul is writing to the church. He begins to, you know, we think of Paul and Apollos. Well, yeah, that's Paul. I mean, my goodness, he wrote almost the entire New Testament. I mean, what a testimony he has. You know, the Lord said he's a chosen vessel and for me. And I mean, he's Paul. Come on, Pastor. I'm just me. We got the same Holy Ghost that Paul has had. We've got the same revelation that Paul had. We've got the same teaching that Paul had. Yeah, he's here, but I've said as far as if the scripture, the Bible was still being written, I said we'd find a lot of names in it that we knew personally, because they would be in one of those Hebrew 11 chapters. You know, they would be people of faith that we knew that stood through things and did things. And we would start saying, well, time would fail me to tell you of Brother Eberhard or Sister Eberhard or time would fail to tell of Dr. Patterson and the ones that did all these men that came into this area and did great works and things. They're part of that great cloud of witnesses now. And we know their stories personally, and it's like that everywhere. Everyone knows somebody that helped them along the way. What if everybody kept this to themselves? They got it and never shared it. How many people wouldn't be here today? You know, and this is not patting me or my family on the back, but what if I'd have said, nah, I ain't going to start a church in Winterville, Georgia? Well, a lot of you all came here and are here because we knew we had something else to do for the kingdom. And sometimes stepping into that is fearful. Sometimes the step can cause anxiety, but the call is true. And you got to trust the call. And so Paul, again, now he's writing. He says, now I planted. He's just given an example here. Apollos, mighty in scripture, a mighty preacher of the word, great in the church. Apollos, he watered. But God gave the increase. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what anybody else does if God's not going to be in it. God's got to be involved in it. But God is needing people to plant and to water, to work, to labor, to get in here. He said, now, the one that's planting, he's not anything. In other words, Paul said, I'm nothing. And Paul repeated that many times through his letters. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not worthy of anything. But he said, I'm not anything. Paul's not anything. It's about God. He's basically just reiterating what he said before. He wants people to get this. Without God, nothing we do means anything. Any increase that we make will not be able to maintain because God's not in it. God must give the increase. Because if we keep heaping things on to increase, we have to maintain it. We have to take care of it. We have to support it, and it becomes overwhelming. We get maxed out, burnt out, and we bug out. We get out. We say, that's it, I'm done. But when God gives the increase, he gives it as we need it. He knows how to pour out on us and how to bless us. And even when our cup is running over, listen, if I'm at home and I'm not paying attention and I'm pouring a drink and it's stuck, and all of a sudden I'm spilling stuff over the rim, now I'm mad. But I never get upset about my cup running over when God is pouring it out. Because there's something about the blessings of God that he told me, he said, you can't contain the blessing I'm going to pour out. And I realized that, and I realized that nothing's wasted that runs over that cup. It just flows on out to somebody else and flows on out into another part of my life. So it's not like I just wasted good coffee or anything. This is like this stuff is going somewhere good. And so God gives the increase. Now, he that plants and he that waters are one. We're in this together. Nobody's trying to, look, the guy that's watering can say, I'm getting to the field early today. I'm going to water before he plants. Well, that won't work. I'm going to show him I'm the best water. I'm just going to get ahead of him. And he needs to plant before you water. There's an order to things, and they're one. They work together. When you plant seed, it's got to be watered. That's something that's got to happen. It's part of making things grow. It's part of making things work. So in a church, in a building, in a body, it's all one. Many members, one body. Every part of my body, it seems like it sometimes that it doesn't always work together, but the older I get. But really, my body works for one purpose. That's to take care of me, to get me around, to help me do what I've got to do, It's here to sustain me, keep me breathing, keep me going. That's what it's here to do, and all of this works together. My hands pick up the food that go to the mouth, that I chew up with my teeth, that go down my throat into my stomach. It feeds me all that. My nose is breathing in the air, and then it's going into the blood. The body's just one working together. Nothing else. You know, I saw a little cartoon one time, and said showed a guy, he was laying in his bed asleep, and it said this is why his diet wasn't working, and his stomach was standing at the refrigerator in the middle of the night, like it was getting up in the middle of the night, and he's like, he kept wondering why he was still gaining weight while he was on his diet, but it's like his stomach said, no, I'm going to get something to eat while you sleep. But thank goodness that our stomachs don't really do that, and because we would all be in trouble. But what I'm saying, what Paul is saying, is that here we are one. But that's it. We are one. But then listen to what he said now. Every man shall receive his own reward. Something's coming to each of us. It's coming. God's going to reward us. Every man shall receive his own reward. It's according to his own labor. The people it's just deceiving, because it's trying to tell people, hey, you know, let me back up. The greatest gift of labor that you have is letting your light shine. Letting your light shine is good works. The Lord said, let your light so shine that they may see your good works. Now, that doesn't always mean preaching. That means living by his word, helping people, feeding people, loving people, encouraging people, just living for God, living by the word, letting your light shine. But a lot of people think, well, they told me that all I had to do was say I believe in Jesus and I don't need to do anything else. Matter of fact, I can go back to doing the things I was doing before I made that public profession and I'll still be all right, because once I'm saved, I'm always saved. But that's not even Bible. And I don't have to do anything else. Well, how will anybody know that Jesus did anything for you if they can't see a difference in the life you're living? If you're just the same as you were, if you went to a service on a Wednesday night, got off work that day, went into service, and God got a hold of you and shook you up and turned you around, and the next morning you got up and went to work and like nothing happened. Man, let me tell you, it happened to me on a Wednesday. When I clocked in on Thursday, they thought somebody had took my ID and clocked in. They said, who is this dude? Because, I knew about five scriptures, but I come in telling all five of them. I come in telling people what was happening, what was going on in my life. Oh, you ain't going to believe what happened last night. And you start telling people, the power of God fell on me, and they're like, what? You know, man, I was shaking, and man, I was praying, and I was crying, and man, I jumped in that baptistry, they baptized, and they're like, whoo, it's about my, I got to go, you know. But they knew something was up. And now all I was trying to do, I was just trying to share what had happened. You know, it was like I had them killer spotlights on that day. I was like, I come in shining bright. I was like, here, well, you, everybody in this plant's about to know what happened to me on Wednesday night. And of course, they looked to see if it would change in a day or two, and it didn't. In a week or two, and it didn't. In a year or two, and it didn't. And, because when God gives you something like that, it don't go away. And so we want to be one. And I've realized that I'm going to receive according to what I've done. Now, I'm not saying that our works buy our salvation. Mm-mm. Once we're saved, once we're born again, you can't live until you're born. So we must be born again, born of water, born of the Spirit. That's what Jesus said. We must be born again. So just like we were born, you don't hold a job before you're born. You know, you, you, You don't drive a car before you're born. There's things that's going to happen after you're born. You're going to live your life, learn to crawl, walk, talk, go to school, do these things, graduate, get married, have a family. That's after you're born. So when you're born again, there is a life now to live for Him. It's sad that people will take that born-again experience and just close it down, shut it down, and never do anything with it. But we are laborers with Him, and we must be about our Father's business. We must be, there's so many scriptures about working. No man having put his hand to the plow. Looking back, what's he looking back at? He's looking back at that bed he had to get out of and get up early and grab that plow. He'd rather be back there. Your flesh would rather be sleeping in. Your flesh would rather be in the recliner. But he said, no man putting his hand to the plow and wishing he wasn't doing nothing is fit for the kingdom of God. So God has put my hand to the plow, and we're breaking up ground, and we're working together with Him and doing these things. And God's going to reward us according to our labor, for we are laborers. Oh, I just want to be saved. I don't want to work, but we are laborers. We are servants. You know what a servant, they didn't hire servants back in them days for them to just take up space and sit around. Servants in the house, in the kingdom. So we serve the King. We serve the kingdom. We serve the kingdom of God. We serve the body. We serve one another. We serve the church. We serve the world. We serve the people that God served when He wrapped Himself in flesh and walked this earth. We are servants. Jesus wrapped Himself in a towel and got down and washed the feet of His disciples, saying, this is what I'm showing you. I'm teaching you. This is what you do. You become a servant to the world, to your brother, to your sister. There's something that you're going to have to do in this world. He did not come and just sit in one place and tell everybody to come to Him. How many miles did He walk? How many different places did He go? The scripture says if everything was written down that He did, the books of the world couldn't contain it. We read just a glimpse of 3.5 years of His life and look so many things, and there were so many more things that He did do. So every man's going to be rewarded according to his own labor. We are laborers together with God. You're not in this by yourself. You're not. He's the master planner. He's the brains of this thing. God is not going to leave you to just figure it out yourself. He will lead you. The scripture says that the Comforter would come, the Holy Ghost would come, the Spirit of truth, and it would lead us into all truth. It will guide us and lead us in the right things to do, to say, how to act, how to be. But we must pray in the Holy Ghost. We must walk in the Spirit. The scripture says if we want to mortify the deeds of the flesh, then we should live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. We should listen to the Spirit, be led of the Spirit. When we're led by the Spirit, we're the sons and daughters of God. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are baptized into the body. We receive the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And we realize now that we are not our own anymore, but we are His. And now we live and work for Him and with Him. You are God's husbandry. That's God's tillage. You are God's building. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's what Paul asked in one place. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And that's what people see. They see how you are. They see what you do. They hear what you say. And that's why it's so important that, again, that the most important thing you have is that witness, that light shining. Because people can talk all day long about who they are, but what they do will show you exactly who they are. I want to do my part to shine that light for the kingdom. I have a part to play in my walk with God. I'm not a puppet on a string that God's saying, yeah, I'm just going to. I know that He orders my steps in His Word, but I have to follow those steps. I get that. I understand. God orders my steps. Sure he does, but you've got to walk in them. And people didn't always walk with him. Sometimes they walked away from him. He taught a great lesson, and it wasn't because of the miracles he was doing things, but it was his sayings, his word he was teaching, telling them some things, and they said, "Phew, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it?" And he said, from that point on, many of his disciples, people that had been learning and going with him, they enjoyed the miracles, the water walking, the multitude of fish, feeding people in desert places. Oh, we love seeing that kind of stuff. Blinded eyes opening. Man, I was there. Tearing roofs open. Let's get with it. But you start talking about, I've got to eat this body and drink this blood and do these things, and that's just too much. And it said, and from that point on, many of his disciples walked no longer with him. They turned and walked away, and he asked the disciples that were with him, "Hey, will you also go away?" But they said, "Where would we go? To whom would we go? Well, you have the words of eternal life. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to keep letting my light shine." And God bless Peter for the faults he had. But let me tell you, his light to me shines brighter than any of the other 12. I love everything that John wrote and different ones, but when I watch Peter's life, I watch a man that won't quit, makes mistakes. I ain't going nowhere. You know, if you had your dream job, I mean, this is it. This is my dream job, and you kept making mistakes, would you leave it? Because it's my dream job. I'm just going to work at getting better at it. And that's what Peter was like. I'm just going to work at getting better at this. Oh, by the way, Jesus, I rebuke you. What? You know, get behind me, Satan. What? The keys are still jingling in my pocket you just gave me from the, you know, yeah, but you got to get some things straight. Quit cutting people's ears off. Stop cussing and denying me and things like, you know, just, but he had to learn this, but he always got up. He always kept going. He was always there. And even when you know he was embarrassed, he was ashamed, he was heartbroken over what he did, but he kept doing. And that example, to me, an example of someone that will get up, not quit, don't throw in the towel, keep doing. He didn't even lay back and say, maybe you ought to get somebody else to preach on the day of Pentecost. See, knowing all these people heard me, they know I denied him, they know what I did, and yet Peter stood up under the Holy Ghost and started preaching on the day of Pentecost. It was Peter, the man with all the flaws, but the man that wouldn't give up, the man that would keep going, the man that said, no, he did something in me, and just because I've made a mistake, that doesn't change what he's done in me. I've got to do my part for this kingdom. So we are workers with him, working. You know, the Bible says if a man won't work, neither should he eat. And you know, so we better work so we can eat those good things of God and have those things from him. We are workers with him, plowing, laboring. Ephesians 3:20, you know, we love the first part of this. Now unto him, God, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now unto him be glory, because he's the one that matters. But there's a lot of things not happening because we're not activating the power that worketh in us. And it's not just that making a statement of faith, it's living by faith, walking by faith. You know, yes, I've got to believe. I know what he can do, but I've got to activate the power that is inside of me and do something for the kingdom. It's not always about the supernatural, miraculous. It's about just getting through the week and telling somebody else about the Lord. You know, we think that these scriptures are only for when we need to raise the dead or somebody's about to pass away or something, we need a new job or, you know, that's the only time we pray prayers of faith. But I pray a prayer of faith so I can live. The Lord told Peter, said, I pray that your faith doesn't fail. I don't want your faith to fail, because you've got to live. You live by faith. You got to walk. You got to walk by faith. And you just got to have faith in me to be who I called you to be. We've got to just, we have isolated faith into just nothing but miraculous. And there's nothing short of a miracle, the life we have living for God, but we need faith every day. When you wake up, you need faith to make right decisions. Faith in what? Faith in His Word. I'm broke. Really need that. Maybe I'll just whip in the gas station real quick and I'll pump my gas and I'll drive off. His Word says, don't steal. What would they think as I'm driving off as they see that my bumper sticker that says Jesus lives and my little fish symbol on the back of my car? Hey, that Christian just stole that gas. You know, come on, where's that witness? You know, so we need faith. So I got caught in this embarrassed situation, so I'll just lie. He said, the Word says I shouldn't lie. I'm not supposed to lie. So, you know, so you tell the truth. You need faith just to live by the Scripture and to be a good witness and to let your light shine clearly. You have a part in this life that He's now given you. If you've been born again, you're not by yourself. God is with us. We're working with Him. But you have a part to play in this life. We love Acts chapter 2, but we forget part of Peter's message when he said, save yourself from this untoward. Now, he ain't talking about initial salvation. He said, save yourself from this untoward generation, this crooked world. In other words, once you get this, live by this so that you can be counted worthy to escape the judgment that's coming on the world. So I want to make sure I understand, you know, what's going on here. How about what Paul said in Philippians 4:13? I know God can do all things. But Paul said, I can do all things. Anything that comes to me, I can handle it and I can do it. Paul, I want you to go to Rome and preach. I can do it. Paul, I want you to go here. They're going to stone you. It's okay, I can do it. Paul, you're going to be shipwrecked. It's okay, I can do it. Paul, they're going to beat you. It's okay, I can do it. Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. On my own, I'm nothing, but Christ is with me, and Christ strengthens me, and God in Christ. You know, so we know that God is working with Paul, and he's a chosen vessel of God to do these things. And he said, I can do all things. And that's not just talking about praying for miracles again. It's talking about standing firm on the faith. It was Paul that said, look, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I kept the faith. And so we need to not think that I can do this on my own, but I can do it with God's help and with His mercy and with His grace and with His leading and with His strengthening. I can do this because I am a laborer together with Him. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, ask. This is Jesus is talking. He said to the people, he said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Not just believe that there's things accessible. He said, because it's only to everyone that asketh. He clarifies it in verse 8. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If you're not asking, if you're not seeking, and you're not knocking, don't be looking, because it ain't coming. I believe in Him. He's just going to pour it out on me. You know what? He does load us daily with benefits. He is good. Because he don't slap us down for being lazy and just, you know, we think, I ain't done nothing really bad. And you know, we always talk about God is going to knock me down for something bad I did. But, you know, man, what if God were to just get on us for being lazy? I'm busy every day, you know, and we use that. This is the tight part. You need a spoonful of sugar for this one. But we use our busyness to excuse away our labor for the kingdom. Again, I'm not saying everybody's going to go to a third world country and start a church, that you're going to buy a camper and start evangelizing around the country. But in the middle of what all you're doing, you can still share him. You can still talk about him. You can still tell people what he did for you. You might could pray for somebody on your job or at the store or wherever you're at. You know, if you knock, things will be opened. We think we're just knocking on heaven's door. Sometimes you need to be knocking on your brother's door, and that's where the opportunity opens. The prophet went and knocked on a widow's door. Hey, I'm hungry. Make me something to eat. Oh, we're just going to eat what I got left and we're going to die. He said, if you give to God first, we all going to be better for it. But you know who sent him there? God did. She don't even know it. So sometimes we would just go knock. If we would go seek, sometimes it's not an angel from heaven opening the door. It's simply somebody that looks just like you. It's got a blessing that'll touch you and that you could even understand. That's what he's talking about. You know, oh, man, if I had the opportunity, then start knocking. If I could just then start seeking. Or if I start asking, and God will put somebody in your path. He'll put a situation there, and all of a sudden you realize this is what I was looking for. I needed a way to stay alive. The ravens ain't bringing no more bread. Creek's dried up. Just head on up here and talk to this widow lady. And he knocked on the door. And that was what he needed. So we need to be knocking, seeking, asking. Because he said, everyone that does those things receives. Now, not the ones that just hear it or read it, because you can be a hearer and not a doer, the scripture says, and deceive yourself. I want to be a doer. I want to do heart. I want to do my part to reach this world and to reach other people and to help other people, because I know that things need to be done for the kingdom, and I know things need to be done in my life. Things will get done. It's things that will happen because I do my part. But if I sit on my hands, I'm going to watch everybody else getting theirs. Everybody else is getting what they need. So, you know, even in Acts 2:38, it's not, you know, that's from God, but it includes our part as well, because God does not repent for you, and God does not force you to be baptized. Repentance and baptism is my decision. I must repent, and I must say, here, hey, there's water. What's hindering me? I have to make those decisions. Receiving the Holy Ghost, that's God. You do your part, God will do his part. We always get the reward of the word. That happens. So he that believeth and is baptized, that's the person, shall be saved. That's what God does. And so if you want the reward of the word, then you've got to do what the word says. Obedience to the word always brings the reward. The prophet told one old lady, he said, what you got in your house to save yourself and your children? All I got is a little pot of oil. He said, then go get a bunch of vessels. Don't get a few. Borrow a bunch of them, bring them, and start pouring out. One little bottle of oil filled it up. It was enough to pay off her debt and to live on. Obedience will always bring it. The man that was a leper, hey, go wash, dip 7 times in the Jordan. He didn't want to do it. Somebody talked him into it. He went and obeyed it. Came up, and his flesh was returned to him just like a baby, just like he was brand new. That's what God does when we do our part. Listen, God loved us first. He's our Savior. He saved us. He is the initiator in this thing. We didn't find him. He found us. And so he's the most vital part of your walk. You got to have him. But now that we're born again, adopted in the body, there are principles in the Word to live by. Not just to read about, not just to listen to, but to live by. And they provide for us. Faith without works is still dead. I'm going to read, and I think I'll be just in time. We've got about 4 minutes. And if I get somebody behind me, I'll quit real quick. James chapter 2 and verse 14. James said, "What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he doesn't have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed, be filled, but you don't give them those things that are needful to the body, what does it profit?" You see, your words in that situation don't account for much. But that closet in that pantry, you could have helped them out. He said, why aren't we doing the things that the Lord wants us to do? And so then he comes, brings it back to the question, even so, faith, if it does not have works, it's dead because it's alone. Faith alone is not enough. Faith is powerful. Fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. I understand the scriptures that's in this same book. But he said, faith alone in this life is not enough. We have to be doing something with the faith that God has given us, because God gives us the measure of faith. A man may say, you have faith, I have works. So show me your faith without your works. You can't do it. You can't show faith without works. It's only your word. But this guy says, I'll show you my faith by my works. Why are you doing that? Because I follow Jesus. Why are you doing that? Because I believe what the Bible says. Why are you see what I'm saying? Why do you live like that? Because it's scripture. Why are you baptized that way? Because that's what the Bible says to do. Why do you lay hands on people? Because it's Bible. Why do you pray for healing? Because that's scripture. I can show you my faith by my works. If you believe there's one God, well, that's good. You do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It's vanity. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See, God told him to go offer him, but he could have said, nah. Oh, just to have God speak to you, that should be enough. I told you what to go do. And so he went and offered Isaac up, and he said, don't you see how faith wrought with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect or complete? And the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. We must do our part. I'm not even close to being done, but you can stand with me this morning. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for our doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God, not just preachers, but the man of God, children of God, sons and daughters of God, might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Got to have those works. Psalm 31 and 23 says, O love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful, and he will plentifully reward the proud doer. The doer. I want to make sure that we're doing. Doing, living, obeying God's word. It's profitable for us.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.